XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, and if I'm a little punchy, yeah, we had a dinner thing last night, and yeah, had to have it. Last year, of course, completely scuttled and. Last year was no year to be having get-togethers, but had a nice time. This started about 4 years, 5 years ago, and it's always worthwhile, but you know. It's a lot of work. Yeah, Tina too. Tina had to take. All I had to do was cook and put together, the food. Tina did a lot more than that. She's cleaning the house and she's doing the yard and everything else. So we had a really nice time. Thanks to everybody that came. And it's funny. It's always whenever you do these, it's kind of fun because it always brings together a eclectic group. Because everybody's got a million things going on, and some people are, back downstate, and they're coming, basically coming Wednesday to Sunday, and then they go home, and so it's, you never know who's going to come. Seth was there, though. Seth Merrill. Seth's always, you'd say, Seth's got a busy dance card. He'll be with us later. He went to go see Ralph Thoreau's band, and he's always running someplace. He'll be in the basketball game. We do have to do today because I'm so disorganized and behind the eight ball. I also didn't get to the track. I mean, there was no way, absolutely no way. I usually get up about four, and I. Eyes opened. Look over at the thing on the TV box. It's 4:10, and I said no. I just couldn't do it. So fell back asleep for a couple hours. But I did get the analysis. I did get the analysis up. Although I will wait for scratches to finalize today's pick five approach, and. I don't know. It doesn't. I could not sense that today's opportunities are. That there's big prices laying in wait, if you know what I mean. It seemed very. I don't want to say chalky necessarily, but I mean the favorites and the logicals seemed strong. Today at Saratoga, and we'll also look at some Indiana later with Bill Downs. Talk to Bill around 11. They've got those two nice stakes for the Indiana breads, but here at the spa we've got the shine again. I love these restricted, one of my favorite conditions, those restricted stakes, horses that have not won a sweepstakes, a graded sweepstakes, the different nuances to them. And sometimes it's over the last 12 months or over, since January 1st, whatever the conditions are. And it always brings together some classy horses, six-pack in this shine again, which goes as the eighth today. You've got another Stallion Series stakes. This one, the three-year-old fillies going a mile on the inner turf. So actually, that's a race where there's actually a couple of middle price types, 9 to 2, 6-1 that may have some nice chance in there. You've got Sport Model from Clement, the 8-5 favorite, very logical, and Fun While It Lasted, Kent Sweezy coming into town. And I thought Show Me the Honey for Michelle Nevin, and She's a Dirty Dancer on the outside. I thought we're okay, and had shots. In fact, I put Show Me the Honey on top, 6-1. In fact, later we're going to be doing the Capital OTB. That's another casualty of last night. I didn't tape my little segment for Capital OTB, the DePaula play of the day. DePaula is getting plenty of mileage out of this. Anthony Stabile and I are each doing 20 days, and we're, I think, you know, we're hitting at a nice strike rate, the two of us. And today, I'm good. You'll hear it at 9:50. But there's a really interesting that maybe this is the best price of the day. I'm making it the play of the day, so it must be right. In the 10th today, the starter allowance 10th, going 1/16 on the grass. Brian Lynch has got a fascinating honor code filly. If you haven't gotten to this yet, open up your papers. A horse running back from opening weekend. Honor Hop. Honor Hop coming in same conditions more or less, but that was on the dirt, going 1 1/8 and caught mud, which she had won on. She had won at Churchill in the slop, going 1.25 when she broke her maiden. But take a close look at the 1.5-mile race that Lynchy ran her on June 18th. Full-fledged allowance, 1.5 miles. But what do you notice? He ran her against the boys. Like, what? Really? Really interesting. I mean, that's a serious race. 1.5 miles open allowance. She got beat by 2 lengths and change. 2.75. She led, you know, to the top of the stretch. Split the field, ended up 5th of 10, and beaten 2.75. That's a respectable showing. And now she's back on turf. Leperu, you know, who had won with her, you know, led on a slow pace. So I thought that was really curious, and a challenging spot to throw a maiden breaker. Now, granted, this horse took till 4 to break the maiden. But I thought that this was too interesting at 8-1, not to take a shot. You know, and there's a couple of horses. In fact, there's a funny name related pairing in here, who are the two logicals. It's very funny. The 7-2 favorite is Ocean Air. I tweeted to Mike Selmovich about this, and because he came up with the divorce exacta, Fun While It Lasted, Buy Hubby, Hello Money. That's in the 5th in the Stallion series. But 7-2 favorite, Ocean Air, for Clement, coming out a pair of seconds against Starter Allowance Company. And the second choice, 4-1, Kitten by the Sea. So you've got, as I called it, the beachfront exacta pairing. Ocean Air and Kitten by the Sea. They're the they're the two logicals, but neither one of them looks so imposing that we can't beat them with Honor Hop. She runs back to that. Actually, that race she ran the allowance, the open, you know, the first level allowance against the boys. She runs back to that, and that can win this race. So, and Johnny, hopefully Johnny starts the week, you know, moving forward and start to get some wins. And certainly Ron Anderson is, you know, beating the bushes to get Johnny rolling, right, at the meet. The rest of the card, we'll probably touch on some more spots. Third level, interesting third level allowance. I thought that NYC was going to be very tough in there from the inside. In fact, Pletcher happens to have two favorites. Or actually, there's two favorites on the card, I should say, not Pletcher. But there's two favorites in the late action, in the pick four and in the, you know, the races 6 through 10. In the seventh, Montauk Daddy, Rob Atrus, I'll try him again today. Atrus has got Montauk Daddy, who does figure tough in that seventh. And then Pletcher's got NYC for Waterford in the ninth, third level allowance. And those two, yeah, that's sort of the reason why I kind of sense that this was a card that might be, you know, dominated by the logicals. A couple of maiden specials, one for three and ups, fillies and mares going short, start the pick five. This is a weakish looking group. Empress of War, now with Maselli, and Shamalama Ding Dong. There you go. Otis, my man. Wait till Otis sees us. He loves us. the great Peter Reichert. Yeah, it's going to be that kind of show, folks. Yeah, you're in trouble. Okay, so anyway, I could go on and on here. The two-year-old fillies turf sprinting today. And actually, I have not. I got to do the pedigree work on that. I have not. I did races 5 through 10. All right? So once we get the scratches, I will put up the, I will add the plays, the pick five and pick four. All right. Couple of notes about, let's see, what do we got today? I'm not kidding, folks. I got off the air yesterday and, you know, 4 hours straight prepping to get dinner done and then dinner, basically 4 to 9-ish, and then Tina and I collapsed, and then we're asleep. I don't know, 10:30. So I'm a little. I can't listen. I can't. It's eye wire act. I can't. It can't be perfection. We're going to talk to Pete. We'll catch up with Pete Fornatel and see what's going on for him. He had a little Del Mar, and in fact, tomorrow we'll be at the track tomorrow, and we got a couple of interesting. We should have several interesting in-person visits, including potentially, I think, expecting Craig Seidler and Joe Valenti. And the winner of the big winner, six-figure winner of the Del Mar Betting Challenge this weekend. So they might sit with us, I think, expecting that. Craig, little media shy. Not everybody wants the microphone shoved in their face. I can understand that. Dave O'Rourke tomorrow, and Dave is going to not only give you almost halfway. We'll be virtually at halfway on Sunday. We'll be through 19 days of the 40-day meet. And the upcoming Jockey Club Roundtable, Dave has got a featured segment and presentation, and essentially he's going to do a Jockey Club Roundtable for all of us, for the other half, for the rest of us, for the those of us that actually play the game and involved the way we are, the money through the windows and breeding and buying and selling and owning and retraining after their everybody else. So Dave's got a couple of focuses, I think, that I think you'll find interesting. And part of his presentation, a big part of it, is going to be about, you know, the wagering landscape's future, which should be interesting and a kind of a peek behind the curtain kind of a conversation. And then Dave invites everybody's questions. If you want to, you can email me questions if you've got anything you want to ask Dave on. I mean, he'll take questions on any topic. And I'll put this up on Twitter. Actually, we'll do this like two or three different ways. I'll put it up on Twitter, and you can send questions. You can email them. Take the easy address, stevebick157@gmail.com. That's probably the easiest, stevebick157@gmail.com. Anything you'd like Dave O'Rourke to address. And Dave, I think, specifically is going to be focused on, the gaming side of things, but he's open to any question. And, one of the real qualities that Dave O'Rourke has brought to the association is, kind of an open book, more or less. I mean, he's not a CEO type, that's haughty or above the fray. I mean, just kind of hands on. He really is like any manager you work with, that comes from the finance department, kind of a down to earth guy that ended up being kind of thrust in and was the absolute logical replacement when Chris Kay was let go, dismissed, and he's brought a real, this kind of a placid, as opposed to the mayhem scenarios that have gone on at times. He's got a very soft touch on the, on the wheel. So anything you want, anything you're curious about for Naira's future and for, particularly the gambling landscape, sports betting and Naira's role in it, anything. All right. Steve Bick 157. Questions for Dave. There you go. Questions for Dave. All right. Send them on Twitter, however you want. All right. I was going to give the 800 number, but the problem with that is it rings in the studio, and there's no way for Casey to know if it's somebody wanting to record a question or if it's somebody calling to, to book studio space. So I don't want to obligate Casey with that. All right. Yeah. I mean, I suppose. After midnight, maybe between midnight and 6 a.m. I guess you could leave. I don't know. They do get delivered. They do the voicemails. It's pretty cool. The voicemails get sort of delivered. right to the inbox, my inbox. It's pretty amazing. It's funny. There's things that have gotten way more expensive in the world and in life. One thing that hasn't is 800 service. I'll tell you, when we started, literally, whatever it is, 15 years ago, the 800 service was like $100 and something a month. Sometimes, some months it might have been $150, and depending on usage and all that. Now, it's like $29.95 a month, and it's, you know, unlimited. There's no people, you know, it doesn't matter how many people call, doesn't matter how much, you don't need a machine. It does it digitally. It delivers them. It's crazy. That's one thing that's improved. You know what hasn't improved? I say this all the time. You hear this from me. Here's my annual message. Everything in life has gotten better, and the quality has increased, except for staplers. Staplers are... yeah, Casey said phone lines going digital. Lowered the cost. Exactly. That's it. So, all right. I'm... A show is going to start here any minute. I promise. See, this is where having like two or three other people and having like a morning zoo atmosphere might help. I don't know if it would help or hurt. Well, we're going to hear from Bill Gallo too. Want Bill to recap. I haven't talked to Bill about the Kaiser the other day, and we'll get his impressions. But the two races at Colonial, get a recap of that. And, of course, today, the card starts today with a second-level allowance going 2 miles and a 16th. Over the national fences. And we'll see what Bill's thoughts are. Nice mix. Kerry Breon's got a pair in here. And you've got a 5-2 favorite, Ritzy AP for Neil Morris. And Jack Fisher. It's a nice... I will put up our man, Tom Herman. Tom does a write-up for us at Derby Trail, and I'll be sure to put that over on... I'll put it on our website as well. Ritzy AP, and it's funny, Ritzy AP, you'll remember, is a Calumet, and you know, now has had the two races over the jumps, and was one of the maiden winners at Colonial, going back to opening day there. So now gets to try second level, and you know, it only took him two tries to break his maiden. And he was second, actually, in his first try. So, and Jack Sisterson had a hand in that one. He was a nice enough horse. He was a stake runner during his career. He's now seven. Nice horse. Sean Clancy's got that Lemonade Thursday. I mentioned Jack Fisher. There's River D's entrant. It's an interesting group. Todd Wyatt, Without Destination, who was a winner, first time North America. Leslie Young, who's having a good summer. She's got Perfect Tapatino, a Perfect Soul 7-year-old that Mr. Pipke bred. And was also, came to the U.S. and was a stake runner. So, nice field. Very nice field. I'm anxious to talk to Bill. I told you that Pete's going to join us. We'll get to Sid in hour two. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And we'll talk to Sid particularly about Bernardini's legacy. I want Sid to riff on, you know, some of the things we touched on with Charlie Bowden on Monday. And... you know, I reached out to, I should extend double sympathies to Tom Albertroni. Tom begged off a visit, and he asked if maybe next week, if we get a chance to talk to him. And I understand, you know, in addition to hearing the news of Bernardini, the barn lost Faya over last weekend as well. So I can understand Tom just was not up to the sky, and I don't blame him. I completely understand. So we'll catch up with Tom, though, and we'll be regaled by, you know, the exploits, because he took a lot of pride and a lot of pleasure in the success of Bernardini, without a doubt. And we enjoyed, you know, at the time we had fun conversations about him. So, yeah. We got Seth, we got Bill Downs, and Brad Cox. Brad Cox this morning too. I want to get some Brad Cox thoughts about his two nice wins over the weekend. All right, so there's your lineup. All right, I'm gonna start to rely on the lineup to right the ship and get us out of port. All right, Pete will join us first. The rest of this I'll wait. Save it. All right, and Ellis. Okay, that's that. I'll save the Indiana some of the stuff from yesterday. We'll do that with Bill Downs in a little bit, and yeah. All right. That's it. We'll just the next voice you hear beside mine will be Pete's. I can't even find the everything on the desk either. This is so. Here we go. There's the Indian. I just want to pull this out before. Let's be honest. I don't. It's not often. Yeah, that I'm so out of whack to start the day. I typically we start strong and start to run out of steam. That's the usual. That's the usual MO, right? And this is the other way around. In fact, I'm looking at the weekend or the Friday stuff, and both tomorrow's card's nice too, but Friday's excellent, as I said to Andy yesterday, and happened to have an interesting conversation a little bit with Lee Einsiedler about Casa Creed. I'm just looking at a note about the that didn't sound good. The Troyon. Friday, and Lee and Bill Mott are going to give serious consideration. And, you know, they drew a good, tough field in the Troy, and they're thinking about maybe waiting for the four-star Dave. So that's a little up in the air right now. We'll see what, they drew wide and so. See what happens on that front. Pete, I think I hear you. Maybe not. No? Okay. Did you take him off, or did he? Sounded like he was in Europe. No? All right. Get him back. It's going to be that kind of... We're hitting on all cylinders. Oh boy. No problem, Case. Don't worry about it. That group in the Troy is deep and interesting too, because you've got Mott's actually got that chewing gum, who was second to Casa Creed in the Jiper. So the grade one placed chewing gum. coming back in this spot. And if Casa were to wait, you might end up seeing that one, you know, go off amongst the favorites. Joe Orsino brought back Imprimis in this spot. And, of course, this was a notorious DQ a year ago in this race where Imprimis was placed third, which was, I mean, set off an absolute insanity. Brian Lynch has got Caratari and Chateau in here for Rob Attriss. Appleby has got a Dubowie 4-year-old in here, Lazuli. This is nuts. Gear Jockey for Rusty. This is a war. Dallas Stewart, Classy John, nice Louisiana bred. That's graded stake placed. So the Troy, very, very deep. Now I think we got Pete back.
We do. I'm here, Steve. How are things?
I'm sort of stumbling around here blind, you know, without a cane, frankly. I don't drink, but kind of got my tongue hanging out here, Pete. We had a dinner thing, and so I was full out and feeling the effects today.
Saratoga will leave you in a fog with or without alcohol. There's just so much going on. I thought that going to the 5-day week would help with some of that.
Yeah.
But somehow it's still, and this year in particular, with the year off essentially in between and all the people around and the life around town, I mean, I've been, my mental state can be described as scatterbrained at best. So I'm right there with you, my friend. But I'm very glad to be on the air with you this morning.
Well, and you know, we're sort of approaching midpoint here. The August calendar popped up, and now it's the very familiar, you know, week by week march to Labor Day, both here and Del Mar, and all of the summer venues. But with Whitney looming on Saturday, and you could tell on Saturday here, Pete, that things had ratcheted up, even though it was still, July 30th. You had a mammoth crowd. You had 34,000, and it was that first robust Saturday of the meet, and it'll be that way now straight through.
It was fantastic to see. I can remember in some past years it didn't really get that old school Saratoga feeling until the calendar turned to August, but it was definitely there on Saturday, and I think there was a number of things at play, but the old saw that came to my mind was how the weather can make track executives sure look great at their jobs when everything conspires like that. But in general, the atmosphere around town has been crazy. Struggling to get dinner reservations on a Tuesday with so much stuff shut down around the world. My one hypothesis is nobody traveling overseas means a lot more people traveling in beautiful places like upstate New York. And it's been great. I mean, obviously, it's the dinner reservation piece is the littlest bit frustrating, but in the big picture of life, it's just so wonderful to have the town be so full of energy and the plant feeling so vibrant. And I can't wait. The industry people are in town. Saw a bunch of folks out last night and can't wait to get to spend more time with them. This is my favorite time of the meet, Steve, with the Whitney Day. I always love my birthday is actually today, so we get to do a little bit of extra hanging and celebrating. And then the festival segues right into sales. So it's really just spectacular, and the vibes are all good as far as I'm concerned. But I know what you mean in terms of just trying to be completely presented and organized in the way that one hopes is not. That I've fallen down on that part so far. I feel like I need a couple of days to just sleep and relax and work quietly. And they've been hard to come by. There's been too much going on.
Well, and happy birthday, of course. And then number one. And
thank you for that.
Like Bill Mott, do you have a strong record of winning on your birthday? That's the important question.
It's actually the opposite. I rarely win on my birthday. Though circa 1997 or 6 on my birthday up here, there was a horse called Birthday that won on my birthday, and I made for me at the time what was a significant win bet. I think it was $10.
Oh, that's funny.
it was like some sort of curse. I know I have won on my birthday since, but they're few and far between, let's put it that way. So today I was half thinking of keeping the money in the pocket and looking ahead to all the work and fun coming up for this weekend. When looking at these later week cards, it looks like the weather's going to cooperate. But I'm sure I'll get over there for the late pick 4 or something, and surely the hand will venture into the pocket at some point.
Nice job. That's funny, actually. Speaking of name coincidences and hunch scenarios, that came up earlier. There's a pair of those in today. I mentioned the one that I noticed first was in the Nightcap, where you had Kitten by the Sea and Ocean Air. I'm going against them. I'm trying to get Honor Hop past them. But Mike Somich had one with the divorce specialty. Fun while it lasted, and Buy Hubby Hello Money. That's the one he came up with. It was pretty funny. That's the summer ovals and I don't want to call it dead money, but you know, the silly money that shows up. There was that horse a few summers ago, but now it's a while ago. What was it? Uncle Joe? Was his name Uncle Joe?
Yeah.
And he had there was no reason for the horse to be, you know, first choice or favorite or second choice, and the horse was like 4-1. He should have been, you know, 15-1, and I remember Jason Blewett saying, I think Andy said, I can't imagine why this horse is taking this money, and Jason said, well, everybody's got an Uncle Joe.
I've heard stories that in the old days you could get tremendous overlays in any race in New York with a horse with Irish in the name. That might be a Harvey Pack thing that he told me, and I think it was the same deal. Anytime there was a common name like that, you could reliably react on the public to just go nuts. And I still think that might have been it. Part of the reason, you know, I know he was a wise guy horse for other reasons, but my boy Jack the other year in the Derby, when he caught all that cash, I think that phenomenon might have reared its head. We don't get to see it that often, but a place like Saratoga can still turn up.
It's funny that this comes up out of nowhere, but this is the kind of day it's going to be for me. The other thing along those lines is the street address phenomenon and the exact combinations. You know, there's some people that will play, what is it? 4-1 for the poor one. There's those, you know, number combinations that people just are, that are auto plays. And Tina used to come home with those stories. You know, there's a guy that comes to my window and his street address is 134 and he plays it every time. Well, sometimes you'll get a pair of middle, let's say an exactas, you get a pair of middle long shots, and by all rights, you know, you look at the payout, you're like, of course, now these days we've got the computer money that sort of levels out all the exacta pays. But there was an era where those lower numbers, the single digit numbers, would be underpaid because they were birthdays and they were addresses and they were things that people played, you know, every single race. And then there would be combinations when you had full fields you know, when you would have the 12-10 exacta, and it would be over. It would be an overpay because nobody has the their number combinations that people don't utilize. Yeah. Right? This is
14,
this is old time.
Yeah.
especially when you got over 12, the number 13, 14. Because
no 14th month, you know.
Exactly. It was so funny.
The late great Ralph Kinchin. That was one of the things I believe we'll need JK to confirm. But I believe his dad was a habitual address player, among other things. It's definitely a thing that continues. And I have confirmation here, Steve. 25 years ago today, August 4th, 1996, birthday, Chestnut Philly by Golden Act out of Grateful Friend, trained by Carlos Martin. Owned by Murray M. Garin and ridden by Paul Akyem Bruno, got the win. $10. This Philly paid. And,
well, that's
I was
holy shit. Well, you Murray Garin, of course, is a legend and straight out of Central Casting character. And Paul Akyem Bruno, most of us know better as the former Mrs. Charles Simon.
There you go. It's amazing. This game is so great, the way things connect like that. That the richness of the tapestry of racing, that a random memory can then actually connect to people that, you know, we know. It's pretty funny. I didn't remember any of the particulars. 1996, I mean, that was my first. I'd been playing horses for 4 months, basically, at that point.
Wow, that's pretty funny.
I was late to being a horse player. It wasn't until my 20s at Simon & Schuster. I told the story many times, but the OTB in Rock Center, right across from the famous Editorial Row, and Frank Scatoni, who now does all this fantastic work for California. Yep, exactly. He and I happened to sit next to each other in cubicles at Simon & Schuster, and
wow.
It was anything having to do with sports, we did. So we were in a fantasy baseball. We had just met. I mean, I just started there in March of that year. But fantasy baseball, going out to watch the Knicks, the company softball team, and then the Triple Crown season came along, and it was like, well, what we got to play. So we found a nascent horse racing website. A guy, maybe you'll know this guy. I've never been able to get too much information on him. There was a nascent horse racing website in the mid-90s called Jeff's Racing Corner that we found, and the guy he seemed very sharp to me. I learned a lot reading that website, and then shortly after that, finding Rich Nilsson, who was doing the Handicapper's Edge, and he was an early mentor, early virtual mentor as well, reading his work in this daily horse racing newsletter. And then the thing that really got us going, you know, cashed on editor's note in the Belmont that year, half a hunch play, I'm sure. But the thing that really got us going and got us both hooked was coming up here that summer. And randomly, because on that same softball team, Sean Clancy's college roommate was on that team as well. And he basically volunteered Sean to host us that summer in Saratoga, probably the same weekend that we're digging into. And little did I know what it was going to be like to sleep on a dieting jockey's sofa in my first Saratoga experience. But the friendship took, and the relationship to Saratoga and horse racing took, and here we are a couple of decades later.
Too funny. Too funny. That's, you know, yeah, that's the interconnectedness. And I don't know that. Jeff's Racing Corner.
Yep, long gone. I mean, I don't think it lasted into the 2000s. I think Nick Kling knew he's the one person I've ever said that to that had any, that it resonated with at all. I may have to follow up with him and ask who that fellow was. But he was an important, everybody has those, you know, you got to get coached up somewhere. And back then, you know, there wasn't a robust online community. I wish I'd stumbled into your website, Steve. When did Derby Trail become a thing?
Well, I started it essentially during 2002 on Yahoo, I think I might have established it in like November. You know, they've taken down those clubs Yahoo has, so it's gone. But I suppose the archival side of the internet, I Sid could probably help me with this. I spent, let's see, 2003 was really when it started to roll, and then I started the idea of moving to a freestanding .com address in probably probably about 2 years into that, so 05, and then Barbaro, after Barbaro was when we threw the switch, because the old ESPN message board was invaded by trolls after Bernardini was stricken. And the Derby Trail's source of members was, you know, the people who had followed me on the Yahoo Club, about 200 of them, and then, you know, a bunch of people from the ESPN, the old ESPN horse racing message board. And so that was so we started with about 300, and threw the switch that week, like Wednesday or Thursday after Preakness in 2006.
That's great. Yeah. This is a pretty good tangent even for us.
Yeah, exactly. Cindy Pearson DeLay, right, with her thing,
the Derby List. We were part of that back in the 90s as well. That would have been another prong in the fork of early educational materials, and remembering some of the folks who used to post on there. There were definitely some sharp people mixed in with some crazies, but you know, that's the internet for you.
Yeah, well, the best are the crazies that basically populated every message board. In fact, one came up yesterday with Andy, our friend Morty from Cleveland, Crazy Morty, and. There was Dixie Porter, who was a notorious character, and for years nobody would believe that he, you know, his stories about being hanging out with Bobby Frankel and being, you know, part of Frankel's crew essentially, and and entourage, and nobody really, you know, would believe him. And then, you know, when I got friendly with Frankel, I finally said to Bobby one day at the barbecue, I said, Bobby, there's a guy on my website, he's been on the internet for years, who says he you know, was a friend of yours, and he said, who is it? And I said, Dixie. He said, Dixie? Holy cow. He says, tell him to call me. I said, so you really knew him? Knew him? Yeah, absolutely. Holy, what's he doing? I said, I don't know what he, you know, he's on the internet, acting crazy and telling, you know, stories and that nobody believes. He said, they're mostly probably true. And Bobby absolutely knew him and liked him, and he said, wow, he said, tell him to call me. He's got my number. I know he does. And it hasn't changed. And I think I reached out to Dick. I said, I think I sent him a private message. I said, Bobby wants to hear from you. Pretty funny. That's true. And it's so funny. And I'm sure there's people listening that are laughing and thinking about their, you know, the people that they met. I mean, what we've got from Derby Trail was really, listen, we started a little, you know, the stable, and we got all these people that are friends. We got the long shot lad, Kev Humphreys, you know, who found us, and you know, it's crazy
lifelong friendships.
Yeah,
lifelong
exactly.
Friendships began
exactly.
As a result of the community,
the internet
you created.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah, Pete, before I turn it over to you for the litany of things that you've got going, in about a minute and a half, you're going to have to sit in, and you'll be on Capital OTB with me. And in fact, I've got to let me pull up the. I warned everybody this was going to be a free for all today.
You know who? By the way, kind of radio in the
Well, exactly.
There's a magic to the chaos.
You know who we should acknowledge, by the way, and think about this for a second, because I'm drawing a blank on the name of the website. But my thinking of Kevin made me think of Kev that had the Colin's Ghost.
Yes.
Colin's Ghost and Kevin wrote these historic essays about old time racing that and they're still out there, just wonderful. And then he sort of semi retired, but I think the website is still active. But Colin's Ghost was a lot of fun and provided a lot of real good historic background. So, tip of the cap. I'm going to forget his last name. Martin. I think it's Kevin Martin. I'm almost positive.
That sounds right.
Yeah, Kevin Martin. Colin's Ghost. All right, hold on. Talk about something, Pete, for a second while I pull up the. I got to pull up the Zoom. I got to pull up the Zoom link. Go ahead.
You work on that. I've got the contest updates to give.
Right, this is Gonzo. Gonzo Radio.
We've got a great story. The Nevada guys did very well out at Del Mar last weekend, starting with Craig Seidler of Henderson.
He's going to be on tomorrow. He's on tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. I want to hear what he liked, Steve, about these horses in this exacta, this 50 times exacta he hit, with 78-1 winner Miss Carousel over 27-1 after midnight. The $1 exacta paid over $1,000,
wow.
Nearly a record, and he basically... He strafed the field. He just went out, got right out there to the big lead, and got the job done. Ends up off a starting bank of 3,000 with 100,000 in his final bankroll. And I want to know if there was a magic. Here's another question to ask. It just seems a funny number to end on, 100,000. Was he shooting to do something that impressive? I mean, pretty incredible for a contest where you start with a couple of grand, 3,000 starting bankroll, to run it up to 100,000. So he'll win 50 on top of that bankroll, 35 in cash, a BCBC seat, and he wins his five dime entry into the Pack Classic betting challenge at Del Mar. Not a bad little hit. Matt Arndt ended up running second. He's a Tempe, Arizona resident, and he must be kin to Tom Arndt, who was with us at the final table of the World Horse Players Tour. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Matt yet, but I mean, no slouch there either. 47,000. Can you imagine if you told somebody at the beginning of the Del Mar contest, yeah, you're going to end up with 47,000. You won't be within 50 of the winner, but you're going to get some nice prizes. That's what happened to Matt Arndt. And then Jim Meeks, who I've had the pleasure of hanging out with at many tournaments, former Horse Player World Series winner. I believe he had a deep run at the BCBC one year. He was third with $36,000. And some other very familiar names up there as well. Bill Chenvert ran fourth. Ron Myers, who won one of the Kentucky Derby contests, he was in fifth. Rob Talstra, Michael Shuddy, Carl Rasick, Gary West, and Steve Eisner rounding out the top 10 from that Del Mar contest. Pretty cool stuff. And keep your eyes on the calendar out there at Del Mar. DMTC website will have all the details. But we've got the Pack Classic contest coming up in just a couple of weeks' time. And then don't sleep on the rescheduled Little Red Feather Cares, LRF Cares, smaller money contest Saturday of Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend is a huge contest weekend. So obviously we've got the NHC coming up, which is going to be Travers weekend, but then the new season starts essentially right away. It's not really a new season with the way the calendar works with the NHC, but bear with me. There's no time to rest, because the LRF Cares contest is going to be that Saturday, and then you got to check out what our friends at Kentucky Downs are doing with contests every day of their meet, interconnected. Three contests, 2 days each, and they're going to crown a turf champion. This idea I absolutely love for contests. I think it has an opportunity to develop into a real major if it's not already. They had huge numbers last year. I'm expecting huge numbers again this year. So make sure to check out the Del Mar website and then also the Kentucky Downs website to get all that info. We'll be covering it all over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com, and it should be a lot of fun. I've got something else to talk about, Steve, if I've got another minute, but are you ready to segue into the next topic, and we'll find out.
I think we are. As soon as Brian gives us the go-ahead, This is 3, 2, 1. One. This is. I tell you, I deserve. Let me fix my lighting, because it. And here we are with. Here we are with a big simulcast, and it's a special DePaula play of the day, because in addition to what I'm going to give you, you got Pete Fornatel in the background, although I'm not sure if they'll be able to. I don't think they're not going to be able to hear you, Pete, but believe me, Pete's in the background, and it's his birthday. So when you see him later at the racetrack, he'll be there late in the afternoon, buy him drinks, and let's be honest, Pete has people buying him drinks 24/7, and if you get him good and drunk, he'll invite you to his house, and he'll make you pizza in the backyard, and then you'll be staying with him next summer when you come, and then he'll be divorced, and it's a mess. The horse that we're looking at, I talked to the radio audience, who by now are back listening to Howard. The four horse in the 10th race today, this is a very strange opportunity, I think. Honor Hop from Brian Lynch. And as I mentioned earlier, Lynch ran this Honor Code Filly a mile and a half at Churchill in June against the boys. And she ran well. She runs back to that race, and she's very competitive in here at 8-1. And we mentioned, we were laughing earlier, you've got a crazy name pairing, Kitten by the Sea and Ocean Air. They're the horses to beat, and the logicals. But it's a competitive group. You get Johnny, who I think is going to probably be hard charging to start to post some wins. And I got a feeling you got the right horse in here. Honor Hop, 8-1, runs back to that race on the grass at Churchill, and can win. So that's the DePaula play of the day. Best of luck, everybody. Happy birthday, Pete. There it is. All right. So that's done, and we'll see if we can't get back on the winning track. And after had a couple, pretty much everybody that we've tried with this has run well and has picked up a check. We got three winners so far, I think, in the nine tries, and let's get it back rolling for toward the second half of the meet. All right, what else we got, Pete?
Well, I want to tell people about this. We're doing something different with Horse Player Happy Hour this week. If folks haven't been paying attention to these contests, they should be, because there's a lot of good things happening here. We've got two Breeders' Cup betting challenge seats added to the prize pool in this tour at no cost to players. And you can still jump in now and have a very good chance at one of these added BCBC seats, because in addition to the weekly feeders into Saturday qualifiers, we're having, at the end of the year, essentially a playoffs. And the only ways you can qualify for the playoffs are to finish top two in a feeder any week. This is just a $20 feeder, or through tour points, you have the opportunity to qualify. And right now, looking at the leaderboard, extremely attainable goal to finish in the top 40 who haven't pushed on anyway, and have a chance at this added $10,000. But basically, what we're doing is it's a $20 feeder. All the profits, the house cut, go to the Thoroughbred After Care Alliance and the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And then we've got a live stream as well. On Thursday, we're going to go, Matt Bernier and I are going to go from 4:15 to 6:15. We'll cover the late pick four at Saratoga in real time. But the contest starts early, and that's the thing I want to highlight for people who've been playing along. We're going to do full card Saratoga for the contest. So you got to get those picks in on horseplayers.com for Horse Player Happy Hour by the first race on Thursday, which is, of course, 1:05. So I wanted to highlight that you can't just hop in at 4 o'clock like you've done some of these other weeks where we're doing a short run. We're going to do the whole day at Saratoga, and then the live stream will cover those last 2 hours. We've seen a lot of people from the At the Races army, as it were, on the leaderboard, on the tour leaderboard. Again, you're at no disadvantage jumping in late, and it doesn't cost anything to go for the tour anyway. I mean, where else are you going to find $20,000 added where the house cut goes to charity, and it only costs $20 to play? It's been fun to follow along. David Browning is our longtime tour leader. Great guy, exactly the kind of player this format was designed for. Somebody who has played in the big events when he qualifies in, but doesn't plunk down big sums of money. This is a guy who feeds into things, and he has really shown his handicapping acumen with multiple. I think he's had eight or nine finishes in the top 10. That's how you get tour points, by finishing in the top 10 week to week. Don't worry about the particulars. We'll explain that all on the live stream, or you can read about it over on the Breeders' Cup website. There are partners in this, Breeders' Cup and In the Money Media. We're having a hell of a time, and we want to see you in the games with us tomorrow. Once again, Horse Player Happy Hour, and check it out via horseplayers.com. Join us tomorrow, and we're going to have some fun, Steve.
Really nice. That format, there's so many players that just, you know, either they don't want to apply bankroll, you know, significant bankroll to buy-ins, and they're coming in through the feeder system, and it works. And there's countless players who have been successful and are regularly successful applying it that way.
Gives everybody a chance to compete. David Browning said, you know, he loved the idea that he's seen, you know, former Breeders' Cup betting challenge winners and being able to stand toe-to-toe with them and not at a disadvantage because he's not willing to make, you know, whatever, a $10,000 bet on one race. The other thing fun about these shows that I think this audience in particular would like, Steve, is we get very interactive in the comments. The audience is part of the show, and we're always asking people for their picks and their rationale and asking questions of them that they're answering, and they're asking questions of us. It's the most interactive thing that I'm involved in horse racing. And just like we were talking about before with Derby Trail, it's a chance to really be a community and act like a community in real time, and it makes the broadcast very, very unique and fun. And I think the people listening to this in particular would be great additions to the team. We want to hear what you have to say and your experiences and stories as we continue along on our horse playing journeys.
Very nice. Well, Pete, I appreciate it. A lot of fun, and happy, healthy, many more. We will see you later this afternoon, and remind everybody, there's also, if you're contest oriented, you got a Whitney Challenge coming up at Saratoga this weekend, and every week as well. You got the low roller and a lot of, you know, countless opportunities. But this weekend, the Whitney Challenge, $3,000 live money.
That's definitely a good one to highlight. I'm going to be doing a little show with Duke Matisse on track on Saturday, Steve. We're going to go at 9:15.
Oh, I saw. Yeah. Like the ones we used to do years ago.
Exactly. And then at 10:30, I'm doing a show at the Brentwood. We're going to have bagels, free bagels, and Bloody Marys. Naomi Tucker in from Maryland for the weekend. Going to catch up with her. So a chance. And those will both be posted as podcasts if people can't get out there. But it's great. I love it when people say hi, and I love it when they specifically mention either the podcast or hearing me on At the Races. It's been such a great experience over the years. Gosh, it's been, I think, Steve, since 2015, I've been had the pleasure of coming on with you, and it's always great to hear people who know me from either of these formats. And a big thank you for all the help you've provided over the years, and especially for those nice birthday wishes as well.
My pleasure. Pete Fornatel, everybody, Looms Boldly, and the In the Money Players podcast, and all the players that are involved. Pete, thank you.
Cheers, my friend.
Pete Fornatel. Let's take a break. Top of the hour, and I think we got the yayas out. let me go grab a cup of coffee. That's what I should do, because we took the coffee pot off of the counter. yesterday, put it away. And so I only had two little Keurigs. So let me go get a cup of coffee. Sid Fernando is going to join us. We got Bill Gallo to come. Bill Downs from Indiana. Kirk White is going to visit from Iowa, who won himself a $3,000 John Deere X330 in the Bic 5 contest. We're going to talk to Kirk. And we got Seth as well. Brad Cox is supposed to slip by at some point as well. And who knows what else in the wacky hijinks going on today. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Thoroughbred horse racing returns to the home state of Secretariat when Colonial Downs in Virginia conducts its summer season with a new afternoon racing schedule and minimum daily purses of $500,000. The season runs from July 19th to September 1st with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Mark your calendars for Colonial Downs' signature event, the Grade 3 Virginia Derby, on Tuesday, August 31st. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs now running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday afternoons at 1:45 p.m.
Sirius XM Sports presents